the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable first lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, and thank you. It's a fine morning, isn't it, Jim?
Right.
It's cold and snappy out, but it's beautiful. I'll never forget when I was on the radio in St. Louis and I spoke about the weather one time and said, oh, May, don't ever speak about the weather. It was during the last war, Hitler's war, you know, and no radio ever spoke of the weather because all he did was gather weather news. Said he was just cranky about weather news. So you must never speak of the weather. So I always think of it to this day. Makes me afraid to speak of the weather. Well, good morning anyway, dear friends. How are you after all the turkey eating? Jim and Henry and I have just been talking about the turkey we put down us. I feel like I never wanted to see any more turkeys so long as I live. But I've got the meat left off of the frame, you know, the leavings, as I always do. And let me tell you what I do. I grind them fine on my fine grinding food chopper. You can't live without a nice little fine grinding food chopper. And then you mix mayonnaise with that, and you have the most delicious spread for a sandwich that ever was, either turkey or chicken. And believe me, it comes in handy. Makes wonderful sandwiches. And just no trouble to make. Try it. Just mix it with some mayonnaise to make it spreading consistency. One thing I want to mention. Do you remember that several years ago I gave a recipe for a fruitcake in my column, or maybe it was on the air? I know I gave it on the air in St. Louis on my broadcast, and about 700 people sent to me for that recipe. There was such a big listening audience there that letters and requests came in by hundreds, and so the office force took them over for me because I never could have kept up. And that was fine, I tell you. This was a scripture fruitcake, and several made it and told me it was an excellent cake. This is Christmas time, and maybe some of you would like that recipe. You'll have to send me a stamped envelope, and I'm sure the office force here will make me several copies. They often do. It went by scriptures, like 4.5 cups of 1 Kings, 22nd verse, 1 cup of Judges, 5th chapter and 25th verse, 2 cups of Jeremiah, 6th chapter and 12th verse, and so on, with 11 articles in the cake, including, of course, there's the salt, the sugar, the spices, the milk, the fruit, and the eggs, and the nuts, and it's all found in the Bible. When you look it up. It's a cute recipe and makes you search the scriptures. It surely does, hunting up those things. To those who sent to me for the quiz of the dear Mrs. Bement at Springdale, Arkansas, who's 103 years old, oh, I'm getting a whole ton of mail off this week, sure. I'm giving up this whole coming week to answering mail. I'm going to do nothing but sit and answer mail. I'm so behind. I'm always 150 to 200 letters behind anyway. And you'll surely get your answer this week. One of Mother Bement's quiz questions was, what is a layless goose? A layless, L-A-Y-L-E-S-S. I guess a goose that doesn't lay. Miss Virgil Phipps at El Dorado Springs wrote me a card, and she said, May, I'm surprised at you. A layless goose would be a gander. Well, my dear, maybe you're right, but some way it doesn't seem to me that was the answer. You know, I've lost the answers. But I think I could give you all of the answers, only that one. And to whom I send it, you'll work the answers out anyway. Does anybody know what a layless goose is? Seemed to me it was a carpenter's tool or something. I don't know. And nobody told me who left the lovely homemade peach butter at my door in my hall on the library table, and I'd love to know. Well, here in the beginning, I pick up a little favorite verse of mine, and I want to read it to you. I ask myself this so often. What have you done with the day that you had? Have you made someone happy or made someone sad? Did you hand out a smile or just give them a frown? Did you lift someone up or push someone down? Did you lighten some load or just pile some more on? Did you look for a rose or just gather a thorn? What did you do with your beautiful day? God gave it to you. Did you throw it away? I guess we often wonder just what we do with our days. Or maybe we're too busy to wonder. I don't know. A government expert, a young know-it-all, You've seen them. He was making a survey of some sort, and he asked a farmer, "What time do you get up to go to work?" Now, he asked this to a farmer. The farmer said, "Son, I don't have to go to work. I wake up surrounded by it." And we don't either, we women. We wake up with it all around. As I told you, me with the scissors in the bed sometimes where I've been cutting out clippings. Here is an ad that appeared in an Ohio newspaper. I just love to read these cute things to you that I read that I particularly like. It said a young man of 27 with 350 acres of farmland would like to meet a charming young lady with a tractor. Please send picture of the tractor. Now, that was a practical chap. He'll get somewhere. I read another squib where a wife said to her husband, What makes you think our boy is going to be a politician? The young father said, because he says more things that sound good and mean nothing than any other human being I ever saw. Well, I read another one. A man, one of the know-it-alls, you know, he said, the American home must be preserved at any cost, even if we have to hire somebody to stay in it. Well, of course, he was taking a good slap at the women. Oh, the poor women, here we are. A sort of biological false alarm, to hear the men tell it. And yet they can't live without us. They claim they can't live with us, but they can't live without us. We came up from a protoplasm just to complete and adorn man. That's what some people say. We came up from a protoplasm. Of course, I don't believe that. I think man was made a little lower than the angels in the image of God. Anyway, we came up from a protoplasm to complete and adorn man, but he won't admit it. We are the sugar in his coffee and the light in his dark night and the star in his lily pool and the perfume in his garden. Just get out of the way and give me room, and I'll tell you what a wonderful knick-knack of creation we women are. But, of course, the men won't believe it. What a world, what a world. That's my big expression, what a world. Maybe I'm wasting my breath. So I'll give you folks a riddle, which was sent to me. Dana Porter of this city, she says she's a little girl of 10, and she sends me this riddle. I had several sent me this one, and thank you, Dana. I love these very old riddles, which are now among the museum pieces of folklore. That's why many are trying to revive them. This riddle I remember hearing when I was also a little girl of 10. Four down standers, four down hangers, two lookers, two crookers, and a switchabout. Well, you know, that's a cow. Four down standers, four down hangers, two lookers, two crookers, and a switchabout. Well, that's the cow, you know. Did you guess it? Mrs. Rebecca North sent me this one. As I was going through the wheat, I picked up something good to eat. 'Twas neither fish nor flesh nor bone, but I kept it until it walked alone. Now, I don't think she sent me the answer. At least it wasn't on the page of the riddle, but I believe the answer is an egg. 'Twas neither fish nor flesh nor bone, but I kept it until it walked alone. Chicken run around. And she sent me this, one of the queer epitaphs on a tombstone, and I do love to collect them. They are the queerest things. There is a book out with about 700 or 800 of them you can order from the bookstores. It's called Sermons in Stone, and it's very authentic because they're real. Because most all of the gravestones with the inscriptions that they speak about are pictured right there, all over America. I intend to get the book someday. I think it costs $4. When I get the $4, I'll get it. I'd love to have it. She said a man had three wives buried side by side, and they had to be moved for some reason, the graveyard. And in moving them, the grave men got them mixed up. So here's the epitaph the man wrote. His name was Mr. Church, Mr. Church. So here's what he had put on this tombstone. Stranger, pause and shed a tear, for Emily Church lies buried here, mixed up in some perplexing manner with Mary Matilda and probably Hannah. You know, they really used to put those verses. And I do wonder why. It was a funny thing, wasn't it? They did it in England, too, way over 100 years ago. They've got them there yet. Well, about the saddest thing that has happened in many a day in the news is the tragic news story of the loss of Governor Rockefeller's son at sea. Don't you think so? And he landed maybe in the horrible jungles somewhere off New Guinea. What an awful thing. And oh, I thought yesterday, there we see the uselessness of money. The uselessness. He has many millions, and he would lay them down tonight, every single dime, to get that son back. You know he would. But what good does those millions do? That boy's gone, and he isn't in any jungle either, to my way of thinking. They just as well quit looking, and I think they are going to quit. He's eaten by a shark long ago. The place was full of man-eating shark, they said. And he had 2 miles at least to swim to the shore. He was overturned in one of the worst places on this earth. Every scientist and seaman and navigator says so. And the boy should have stayed with the overturned boat and clung to it like the other fella did, and he was saved and picked up, instead of striking out to swim in a shark and crocodile-infested living death. But he was young, and you know the young. They think they can make it to shore. They think they can do anything. I pray God they may find this boy, but I have no hope. I feel so sorry for his parents and his twin sister who loved him so deeply. God pity them. And yet the worst thing that comes is not always death, you know. There's tragedy all over America tonight in parents' hearts over their boys whom they would rather see buried in the deepest waters than where they are. On the road, or on the road, the traveling to get to where they'll land. They'd rather see them dead. I want to read this wonderful poem to mothers. It's a comfort, you know. It's by that greatest woman poet to me that ever lived, not excepting any of the great masters. That Texas woman, Grace Nall Crowell, who was an invalid and bedridden all her life. These are the ones for whom I pray tonight, the mothers everywhere, who lie awake with troubled hearts, with eyes that pierce the dark, anxious for some child's sake. Like a mother pitieth her child, yes, how great that pity is, God understands. Oh, come tonight, dear Lord, and touch their hearts and take hold of their hands. The promises are unto you and your children. Help them, Lord, to cling to this great living truth, and may they be comforted, remembering. Comforted to know thy word enfolds each wayward child, each hurt child and distressed. Then lay thy hand upon their waking eyes and bid them sleep and rest, the mothers who lie awake. I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.